Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Live Well Bipolar. I am so excited to get into this conversation. I connected with this guest for a while now. We've been going back and forth over Instagram, and I'm very excited to bring you his story. So to tell you a little about who we have today, we are talking with Tom Ballard. He is the Heart Rock Guy. He's made and distributed over 200,000 heart-shaped rocks to remind people that they matter and are loved. Tom believes creating and spreading kindness is how we can strengthen our family ties, deepen our friendships, and save lives. So I really wanted to bring you Tom's story today because I actually have one of his heart rocks and his amazing, beautiful heart rock earring. So, but we're, of course, we want to get into the story before we get into what he's doing now, why he's doing it. So, Tom, thank you so much for joining today. And I can't wait to dive into your story and work.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
I know. So let's start with, talk to me about your experiences prior to receiving your diagnosis of bipolar, because I know you also have a diagnosis of bipolar. So what was life like for you prior to getting the diagnosis, and did it change in any way upon getting the diagnosis?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed about 4.5 years ago when I was 29. And I just had been in just a roller coaster and had no idea what was going on. So when I actually received my diagnosis, I felt like it was a great thing because then suddenly, like, the way I was experiencing life made sense. And then I felt empowered that I could do something about it. And what I decided to do is just do what I love the most. I love creating surprises for people, and I love kindness, and I love cutting stone. So I mixed all of that together and I started what I call my little heart rock movement. And what I do is I just, as an artist, I hand carve rocks and I cut them into hearts. And then when I'm having a good day or an off day or a bad day, I find people that are also having a bad day or an off day or a dark day. And I give them the heart rocks as a little physical reminder of their worth and that they're loved and they're seen. And when I hear myself say that and give someone a little heart rock, it's my little reminder for the day too. In just shy of 5 years, I've made and distributed over 210,000 of them now.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's incredible. I know we were talking a little bit before this, and I actually have my heart rock with me right now. But I love what you guys do is when you send out the heart rock, there's a little paper that comes in here that says, I want this heart rock to remind you that. And you can fill out what that reminder is. And I think that something that really stands out to me with what you said is you took what you love the most and doing and putting that all into your creativity with your artwork and then using that to show other people that they matter. And I remember constantly seeing you share this on your social media, which I'll have linked in the bio for you guys if you aren't already connected with Tom there, seeing you deliver these rocks. And something that I think is really amazing is you go out to different schools and you speak to the students. So talk to me about maybe when you first, your very first presentation or your very first time sharing about the message and the mission behind the Heart Rocks, what was that like? And did you expect the response you got following it?
So it's interesting because I didn't plan on becoming Tom the Heart Rock Guy or having my life look like this at all. It just kind of has slowly progressed. When I started, I was an emergency substitute Spanish teacher, and I had a student that I knew was in a dark place, and I found a heart rock on the beach. And so I gave it to them. And then a few weeks later, I saw them give it to someone else. And I thought, what would happen if I gave a heart rock to all 168 of my students? Would they keep it? Would they pass it on? Like, what would happen? So I started making heart rocks, and I made enough for my students and then the whole school and then the whole school district.
Wow.
And I think this last week I did my 100th school presentation, which it's been crazy. But the first one I did was in Utah County at a school that had lost 6 students to suicide the previous year. And they invited me to come do an assembly. Just, I'd never done anything like that before. And so it was kind of like terrifying, the prospect of doing that. But I remember I just got up on the stage and was like, hey, I know that we're all struggling with something. And we all have like bad days and off days and dark days. And I believe that we can do something about it with kindness. And I said, my way of being kind is I spent the last 2 months hand carving a heart-shaped rock for every single one of you. And I know that like we don't know each other, but when you're having a really bad day, your little heart rock is that physical reminder for you that you matter and you're loved and you're seen and you're not alone. And then you can keep it your whole life because it's a rock. Or if you know someone that's struggling, you can pass it on to them. And then I told them, if you can think of anybody that's struggling or in a dark place, I'll give a few hundred extra heart rocks to your school counselors. So if you know anybody that needs them, you can go get them. And after the assembly was over, dozens of students walked up to the front and like talked with me about just like their gratitude for how open and vulnerable I was and for making them the heart rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And the school counselor reached out to me later that day and said that the hundreds of heart rocks we put in their office, students came and got all of them.
Wow.
And so I made them more heart rocks and we refilled the counseling center over and over and over again. And the students in that school literally used the heart rocks to flood their families and their community and other schools. And I found out 4 months later that one of those heart rocks was directly used to help prevent a potential death by suicide.
Oh my gosh.
And then I was just like, could I do this, but could I do it on a larger scale? Like what would happen if I made 100,000 heart rocks? And so I started making heart rocks 10 hours a day. And I did it for about 2 years, hand carving every single one by myself. And now I've got a little army of stone carvers that are helping me. And we're making and distributing about 20,000 heart rocks a month now.
Oh my goodness. I love when you talk about being this substitute teacher and giving the heart rock to the student and then saying that they gave it to someone else. And then just how this whole thing has grown since then. You started with your student and then your students and then the whole school district and then going out and getting up on stage. And now you talk about doing your 100th presentation, distributing now 20,000 heart rocks a month, doing over 210,000 heart rocks. And I just love seeing, especially the impact that's had when you said you found out months later that this has directly been an influence on preventing a death by suicide. So talk to me about the mission behind that. So the mission of what you do with the presentations and with the heart rocks to help in that way. I really would love to hear more about how that came about too.
Yeah. So when I was a teacher, being up in front of 150 students every day, I could tell like, so-and-so's tired today. So-and-so's having a bad day. So-and-so's been having a really bad month. Mm-hmm. And I noticed these students. But the thought that I had was their friends, their family, the school counselor, they'll take care of them. It's not your job. My job is to just teach. And then I just grappled with that idea of like, if that's the only reason why I'm here, that I'm the worst teacher ever. I want to be here for them and take care of them and let them know that they're loved. And then education will follow. And having done school presentations and stuff, I've seen a pattern, and the pattern is that like the students know who's in a dark place. They know who's struggling, but our human natures, we have a tendency to, like if we're walking down the sidewalk and we see someone fall, we just keep walking because that's what everyone else is doing. And we think that someone else will take care of them or that there's someone in their life that will be there for them. When we can be that person. And so what I try to teach is when I go into the schools is I just try to keep it really simple. We're all struggling. We all have bad days and dark days, whether there's mental health involved or just like we're having a rough day because the sun's not out. And we can each do something about it with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to identify it because it brings you joy.
Mm.
My favorite way to be kind to people is I love making heart rocks and I love giving them away. I love hiding them in public places or going to retirement homes and giving them to every single person. I love mailing them to strangers. My favorite though is doorbell ditching them at people's homes. And it's just my preferred way of kindness. And what I found is living with mental illness with bipolar disorder, I know just right off the bat, I'm going to have good days and I'm going to have a lot of really bad days. And I've learned for myself through this pattern that if I keep heart rocks in my pocket and during the day, I'll find opportunities to hide them or give them away. But what it does is having like a heart rock with me or a note to give to someone, it gives me something to look forward to. And then that little moment of human connection when I say, here's your reminder that you're enough, that you're worthy of love, I hear myself say it. And that's my reminder for the day too, that I'm worthy and I am enough. And so if you take that and you do it 10 times a day, times years, and then turn it into school assemblies or just going out of my way to do it, I've slowly become Tom the Heart Rock guy. But in reality, what I've become is a kind person. And it's the kind of person I've always wanted to be. And regardless of my mental state, I know that by spreading kindness, it lifts me up and it brings me joy and it does for everyone else around me too. And so, why not dedicate my life to something like this? I believe we all can dedicate our lives to creating kindness where it doesn't exist and then flooding our families and communities with it. And what'll end up happening is we're going to deepen those friendships, strengthen family ties, and maybe even save people's lives.
And I couldn't agree more with that philosophy, because I know you mentioned this at the beginning. You said you were diagnosed with bipolar 4.5 years ago, correct? Four and a half years ago. And even prior to your diagnosis, you've always been making heart rocks or making art and doing this kind of creative work. But I would love to see, following your diagnosis, when did you hand out your first heart rock?
So it was actually after my diagnosis. I was diagnosed because I was in a really dark place, and I lived right next to the ocean. I could hear the waves from my window, and I used to jog every day on the beach, but I got afraid I was going to make a really poor decision if I went down to the beach and was just in a really dark place. And so I decided I was just going to stay home and do art because I knew that creativity helped me. So I tried to find my favorite art, and it was the hearts. And then because I had it in my pocket and I noticed someone else experiencing just a dark day, kind of like I had been, I recognized they're struggling just like I am. And it helped pull me out of that inward spiral because I was looking outward and looking out for them. And so when I gave them the heart, they loved it, the way they held on to it and seeing their eyes go from just despair to hope. And then weeks later, seeing them pass it on to someone else and repeating the process was when I was like, if this works once, why couldn't it work 100,000 times? If I felt this good doing it once, why can't I just repeat that? And so that's kind of become the goal, is just little tiny acts of kindness repeated a lot.
Especially when you said pulling this out from what you're going on inward of yourself and seeing that in someone else and being able to have, like you said, that human connection and seeing that spark and that shift from feeling so overwhelmed, stressed, really detached and not connected, and seeing that come alive in someone else. And I think the important thing to emphasize here is no matter how much work that we put in or the things that we're doing to care for ourselves, we still need to continue to show up for ourselves just as we show up for others as well. So I'd love to hear from you, Tom, because a lot of what I'm hearing is in and of itself is creating the heart rocks as a form of therapy, giving it out, being present, doing all of this. But aside from that, is there two other things that you can identify that these are my core things that I do daily that help keep me feeling good on the days when I really, really don't?
I thought about this a lot. And I think the biggest thing that's been a change for me in the last like 4.5 years is I've given myself permission to just have an off day. I've always been so hard and pushed myself so hard to just like try to shoot for perfection and never let people down. And if I say I'm going to do something and I commit, I'm going to do it. And over the last 4.5 years, I've given myself permission to just like today is just going to be an off day, and that's okay. And so maybe I'll spend 20 hours in my bed, or maybe instead of going and doing a school assembly, I'll cancel it and I'll go on a walk in my community. And if I'm like feeling angry or anxious or whatever, I won't pressure myself to go give heart rocks to people. Instead, I'll just hide them. I'll leave them on the sidewalk. Somebody will find it. And so I think that was the first pointer for me, is just giving myself that grace of, it's okay not to be okay today. And to just allow myself to take care of myself, because I'm worthy and I deserve it. And I know that when I do put myself first, then it also allows me to put other people first. But we're all on that same level. And if I'm down here, I can't put them up here. They've got to be either lower or equal, but they can't be above me. I think we go through our lives trying to build ourselves up so that if somebody needs us, to put them way above us, we have that energy and ability. But generally speaking, we want to bring people up to where we are, or just give what we're capable of, but not give more than that.
Right.
I think my second thing is having a very balanced lifestyle, making sure that, like, I personally choose to just go to sleep when I'm tired, and I never set an alarm. I just wake up when I do, because I know that that's really good for me. And the same thing with meals. I just have snacks all the time. They're there and they're ready. And so building in kind of that flexibility with schedule and food and sleep. And then my job now, doing the school assemblies and carving the heart rocks, it's very, very flexible. And I have permission to take off entire days or weeks if I need to, or just kind of pivot and work on different things. And so I would say giving yourself the grace to say, like, today's a bad day and that's okay. I'm going to take it easy. And then adjusting the lifestyle too, just so you can have some built-in flexibility, because that flexibility really empowers the grace that you give yourself. I could, when I was a teacher, I could say, like, oh, I'm having a really rough day, but I still have to go to work at 7 a.m. or whatever and stay there till 3, even if I feel like crying the whole day. And now I have just a vast amount of flexibility. And I know it's not that way for everyone, but I have very intentionally chosen that my lifestyle, my career is going to be incredibly flexible, because that's what I need.
Right. I love the way you talk about grace, how that plays a part, and really giving yourself that permission to say, today is going to be an off day, or I'm having an off day, and not pushing yourself, like you said, to go and hand out the heart rocks or go and make the heart rocks, but rather hiding them or adjusting that routine. And I really agree with that, because that's something that I even started implementing. It was like mid end of last year with the alarm thing, resting at a certain time and really just listening to more of your body and not being so hard and like rigid on, it has to be this way. You have to get up this time, do these workouts, eat these certain ways. I really have found that works a lot better, and I feel a lot better mentally. So hearing you echo that, and I think it's amazing to see that you've been able to get to that point. Cause I know for me, that was one of the hardest parts in my journey, is just having that grace for myself, and with always pushing myself of, no, you need to always show up this way, and you can't cancel, you can't say no. If you do something, not knowing how to set boundaries. And I know this is a conversation we even had when we were talking about different things that we were dealing with and our personal life, and really what it means to show up how we want to show up and not put that pressure on ourselves, right? Whether it's getting on a podcast or filming a video or going to an assembly, really being in that mindset of knowing, I feel good today. I feel like I'm enough and I feel worthy to show up. And if I don't, I'm going to do something that's going to help me pour back into myself. If that's staying in bed all day, if that's going and hiding the rocks, I'm going to find what works for me and do that. I really think that's so important, because I need to do this every day, even for my own routine of customizing and having these things that I want to pay attention to. But I'd love to ask you, with where you're at now with the heart rocks. I remember you mentioned, right, you talked about when you were saying before, your job now is going out, doing these assemblies, doing these presentations. And I think something to talk about is really how much goes into this, right? What is that look like to make all these rocks? You talk about, I spent 2 months hand making these rocks for, because I think you even told me you had 2,000 of them that you had an assembly for or something.
Yeah, the largest school I've spoken at had, I think, 3,500 students.
Right.
And sometimes it's smaller, but it just ends up being a lot of rocks and a lot of work and preparation. I never thought I would end up being like a speaker or doing community events or being like someone that people looked up to. But I think that very naturally happens. Like living with mental illness, I think bipolar disorder in itself is a strength. It's a superpower when you take it. And I've read dozens of books and podcasts and audiobooks to just try to learn as much as I can about the way my brain works and lifestyle. And I've worked so hard, so many tireless hours the last few years, and worked with teams of really great therapists to try to get to a good place. And my experience has been, I've been through this journey. And now, when I find that other people are struggling, I've got something that I can share. And of all the things I've researched and done, the biggest thing and the thing that I've kind of built my life around is, for me, regardless of the headspace, if I am creating kindness and I'm thinking about somebody else, like the other day, it was my mom's birthday, and so I made her a special heart rock. And as I chose the stone, I was thinking about her, and as I was cutting, I was thinking about her, and then like wrapped it up in paper, and just I was out of my head and I was out of that angry like mood I'd been in. And it's because I think when you're creating kindness, it just, you don't get lost inside of it. And so I think that's kind of the big, beautiful life lesson that I've learned is creativity, kindness, they go hand in hand and they're really fun and create happiness for everybody involved. And
Right.
it's something to look forward to.
Especially when you talk about creativity and kindness and how they work, because something I took away from what you said is not getting lost inside of yourself with that. Because I feel like something I've learned over the years is when you're practicing gratitude or expressing that for someone else, or say you're sending a text message or a voice note or messaging a writing a letter to a friend or whoever that person is in your life. I have heard this over and over again, but I never really thought it was true. I would hear people say, you can't be angry and you can't be in both at the same time. You can't be in that state of gratitude when you're doing that. So I was like, let me just try it. So I would write letters and notes, and I was like, oh, wow, this is helping shift me out of this. So I want to ask you too, especially in terms of that feedback that you're getting and hearing from the students and people. So if you could share with me a piece of feedback, whether that's in the form of a message or what that outreach has looked like for you, maybe this month of February, what has that one piece of outreach been from someone, and what impact has that had on you?
So I had a really cool thing happen. About 4 years ago, I met this lady and she's a grandmother and was like, she loves the heart rocks and giving them to her kids and grandkids. And she messaged me recently and she said, my daughter's a teacher at this school. And she called me and was like, hey mom, your heart rock guy came to my school and spoke to my students and gave us all heart rocks. And they said specifically that when I gave the heart rocks to the little kids, I've noticed often that little kids, they'll take their heart rock and they'll give it away immediately because we just talked about kindness. And so what I did in the assemblies, I told the kids that instead of giving your heart rock away, one thing you can do to be nice to people is take your heart and put it on a piece of paper and trace it. And then you can color the little heart on the piece of paper or write something. And So the teacher said they were out on playground duty, and a little 6-year-old girl came up and gave her a little paper heart, and they sent me a picture of the little paper green heart that they'd sent them, and it said, "You are the beast," instead of "You are the best." And she just like she took the time to look me up on social media to share with me that little story. And how, like, she has kept that note in her pocket for a week now. And it just is so meaningful for her. And she's like shared it with her family, how this little girl just walked up on the playground and said, "Here, you are the beast." And I think
Wow.
It's really beautiful knowing that a child heard about kindness and creating it and acted, and they had a good experience and the impact it had on an adult and then their family. And that was one of those odd occurrences where the story found its way home to me, the originator. And I think often that doesn't happen. But that, I feel blessed because through my social media, I've had over 106 people share with me stories where they've used the heart rocks and the little handwritten notes specifically to prevent a potential death by suicide. And that number, 106, like, that's lives saved potentially. And those are just the ones where the story finds its way back. And it just, that number doesn't mean that I'm special, that or that I'm doing anything incredible, but it's like starting a movement, getting people involved and moving in the same direction and just trying to create kindness and spread it. And it's having an impact. And then hearing those stories is, it makes me smile every time. And then I screenshot those and save them. And I've got this big folder that I have. And if I'm having a bad day, I've got thousands of notes now, of thank you notes that people have given me or sent me. And I've got a treasure box full of like paper notes.
Wow.
And I'll just go through those on my really bad days. And like you said, your headspace can't be down here when you're grateful and you're feeling loved and you're feeling connected. And so, I mean, in that sense too, creating kindness, kindness is a big circle, just like a hug. You give one and you get one back. And when I'm giving out heart rocks, people often will give me back notes or kind gestures. Or I had a little kid gave me a little marble this last week and he's like, here's my lucky courage marble. I want you to have it. And someone gave me their little like Taylor Swift bracelet. Was like, when you're having a bad day, wear my little bracelet. And like, I do. And but when you're creating kindness and putting it out into the world, it tends to come back.
Right.
But magnitudes larger.
Oh my gosh. I love what you said about all of the stories that have found their way back to you, but all the ones that haven't. So being able to say 106 of these stories that were directly using the heart rocks to prevent suicides. And then especially when you mentioned too, the woman who said, my daughter is a teacher at this school, and then seeing the ways in which it was connected. And then it's just seeing the impact of that message you shared about giving the rock away or having that imprint on the paper and just the whole entire story. So I feel like just noticing, like you said, the work in it in of itself and this ripple effect of what that impact has been for you to help with your mental health and know in the work that I'm doing, this is one of the ways I show up to care for myself, but then also seeing that in someone else who is receiving that rock, who might feel disconnected, who might not feel included or worthy or contemplating suicide or having a plan or in that stage of just really feeling so, so alone, and what a difference that can make. Because I know I just think back to my younger self and wishing that I would have known about something like this as well. So I think on that note, I always love to ask everyone this question because everyone always has a different answer. And I feel like you've shared so many answers to just the ways in which this has been such a deep connection to your own story and how it's impacted you as someone who lives with bipolar disorder, received your diagnosis 4.5 years ago, but then what you've taken that with you to create what you're doing. So when you think about the name of this podcast, Live Well Bipolar, what does it look like for you at this current stage in your life when you think about what it means for you to live well bipolar?
To live well bipolar, I think it's being, it's beyond acceptance. It's beyond crafting a lifestyle. I think live well bipolar for me looks like having found a purpose or a thing that can be your go-to, that regardless of your headspace, you know you can find happiness doing that one thing. I think that is live well bipolar. I think that's thriving. And for me, it's hand carving heart rocks. And it brings me so much joy. It's wild. I'll be having the worst day ever or the worst week and just be in a really dark place. And I'll just turn to my wife and be like, hey, I'm going to head out to my studio for a few hours and I'm going to cut some geode heart rocks or I'll go make something fun. And she sees how much joy it brings me. So it's like, okay, yeah, go ahead and go do it. Take all the time you need. But she also has identified, just as I have, that this is my thing. It's my purpose. It will bring me happiness. And so it's become my go-to. So that's the live well bipolars.
I love it.
Identify your thing. Yeah.
Identify your thing. And I love how you say having that thing and really tying it to finding happiness and knowing no matter what, when you're doing this thing, whether it's something you're doing or an experience or a place or whatever that is for you, like you said, like I can go and say, hey, I'm going to go for a couple hours and work on making some rocks. And this is what it looks like for me. But I feel like it's so beautiful in the way that you've been able to use that one thing and create that happiness for yourself, but then also create that happiness and that purpose for other people to recognize the value in their life and sit there and see that and be able to have something that they can hold on to, have their actual heart rock they can hold on to, and know that it's something that you can hold, look at, and remember what that purpose is for you. So I am so excited. And you guys, I already said this at the beginning, but remember just connecting with Tom and seeing the work that he's doing and everything that he's been able to do in terms of giving that value to others. It's really the message I want to leave you with, because it's so easy to get consumed and, you know, stuck inside of our head or really bogged down by whatever the experiences are that we're dealing with right now. But this is why I want to bring these conversations to you, to show you the amazing things that other people are doing or have come across that have really made an impact on them when it comes down to living with bipolar and even getting on this path of what does it look like to live well bipolar? Is that possible for me? So I'm so happy that I was able to have Tom come and share his story, his work, his experiences, and really what this has turned into, and really just showing you guys of, you know, hopefully restoring hope and giving that value to you through this story. So Tom, I want to thank you so much for making the time to come out and share with us. Do you have any last words that you want to share, or you can share where people can find you?
Yeah, I do have one final thing that I wanted to offer. I know this is a community.
Yes.
And I'd love to be a part of it. And I'm not a psychiatrist or psychologist or therapist or really special in any way. But anyone listening to this podcast, if you ever are having a bad day or an off day or a dark day, if you message me on my social media, that day I will hand carve a heart rock for you and mail it to you, because you are enough and you're not alone. And it's just a little thing that I can do to help you, and it'll bring me joy too. If you want to contact me, I'm most active on Instagram and then on my website, and they're both the same. It's takeheart.rocks.
Awesome. And I'll have that information in the show notes for you guys. And yes, just I highly encourage you, if you aren't already, connect with Tom and send him a message and let him know that you heard his story on this episode, and he will send you a heart rock, and they are beautiful. Yeah, I can tell you, I'm holding mine and I have it sitting right next to me. And it's amazing because the card that it comes with of you being able to put that message to remind yourself, what do you want this rock to remind you of? So go and connect with Tom. I hope that you guys took as much value from Tom's story as I have had in bringing it to you. And on that note, I want to end it and say bye to you guys. And thank you for being here, for being present for yourself or for someone that you love. You are making an impact on my life and the lives of so many. So thanks, guys. And thanks, Tom. All right. Bye.